I just want to say, you know, we as individuals are the gatekeeper of our own soul. And everything that we've been talking about in a cult of character, really, the only way it changes us is if we let God change us. And I'm so proud to know some of you guys, because I've been able to watch the last few weeks God really actually take your lives, my life, and change us. How many of you guys have been changed in the last month or two in your character? Amen. That is what this is all about. So exciting. All right, go ahead and fill this big gaping hole here, except for a nice aisle. That's good. Awesome. Tonight's a real special night around here, and Josh is going to be bringing the word. So somebody say, preach! Yeah, amen.
Pastor Carter and Pam, can you guys, we got two spots up here for you, right? But there's empty chairs. Gabriel. Psst. Oh, they're good. They're right there. Oh, good. We're good. I thought you were a teenager, Pamela. That was awesome. I couldn't tell. You're just so youthful. Praise God. Before we get started tonight, I want to do something. Can you turn these front lights up, Elias, as much as we got here, and the back niches there? Praise God. Dude, it is such an honor to worship with you. So good. God's presence is good tonight, wasn't it? Well, before we dig into the word, I want to do something that is something I've been wanting to do for a good 3 or 4 years now. And we get the opportunity. My pastors, Pamela, Carter, Eby, if you guys just stand up. Come on, stand up. Many of you might not know that these two founded the youth ministry in this church. There basically was nothing before them. They pastored here for 13 years. They not only fell in love here at Abbott Loop, like, you know, decades ago, but that, but they began their ministry here, and they pioneered all of the youth ministry activity here at Abbott Loop Community Church. And Carter and Pam also sought me out and prayed me into this place. And it was probably 8 years ago when I was here. I was playing music with my brother and sister-in-law, and we were in the auditorium, and I was just dinking around on the bass guitar, like pretending like I could do something. And the Lord spoke to me and said, it was right after the service, and Carter stood up, and he was walking, and he was hugging my brother-in-law, and the Lord told me, he said, that's the man that's going to mentor you. And I went off to Bible college and all kinds of stuff, and then on the way back, I had hooked up a pretty sweet oil field job, and I was locked in, and Carter prayed me in, found me, and the Lord just began to speak to his heart, and I ended up here. And so much of who we are today is not only the foundation that Pamela and Carter laid here for years of just laboring in the community, and in this church, and in this city, but also the prayers and the labor that they tilled and invested in my life. And I just want to honor you guys tonight. We just want to thank you. All the life transformation that's happened here is part of your ministry. It's a fruit of your guys' ministry. And it's just an honor to partner in the kingdom with you. You guys are beautiful people. And I know that the Lord just looks at you and he just smiles. And he says, well done, my good and faithful servants. You guys are amazing. We put together a few things for you tonight, and if you could just bring those to me so I can kind of showcase a few things here. For the love, look at the weight of that thing. How many of you guys know our motto at GM? Go big or go home, that's right. So we got a few things. Now, since my awesome pastor was sharing God's love with my brother Ben over here and just gave him his Bible, we decided we'd get you another Bible to replace that one. Look at that bad boy. Yeah. And we got you a little journal so you can take notes. That thing's humongous. And then, what do we do here? We got Pamela. What? This is not exactly wrapped. got you a journal. But look, this is a much more... Look at that journal. That thing is nice. And I think there's a little note in there. I don't know. I didn't write that, but I don't usually write much. Then here's some Kaladi coffee to take home with you. They live in North Carolina now, so they don't get Kaladi very often. Now, here's two little sweet little... Ooh, yeah! You can tell which one's for the man. This one's a little sexier, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. And then we got you a book from one of my mentors, Wendell Smith, Great Faith. Have you ever read this book? Praise God. This is for both of you, Midnight Marriage Reading. It's good for the marriage. Stimulates intimacy. We also had our leaders in our ministry write little bios about how God transformed their life, and want to thank you for just investing here in this place. So anyway, we love you guys. And if you ever get an opportunity to have coffee or spend any time with these two awesome men and man and woman of the Lord, I just want to encourage you, take that opportunity. You will not be disappointed. Okay, love you guys. You're awesome. You guys ready to get in the Word tonight? All right, let's do it. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 15 and verse 1. I know, James loves the book of John. Praise the Lord. I lost it already. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you can crack a window or something. Anybody, like one of the leaders, just manage the heat in here. If it starts freezing, we don't want anybody to freeze to death. It's not cold. Praise God. You guys ready to read the Word? All right, let's do it. John chapter 15 and verse 1. John 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Everybody say no fruit. No, not no Fruit Loops. Who said that? God loves Fruit Loops. While every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Say much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love, I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. We're in the middle of a series called A Call to Character. Yeah, that definitely should be closed by now. 4 degrees. Climate control like that. That's some serious air conditioning. We're in the middle of A Call to Character. Last week, Mariah Sutherland preached. Well, 2 weeks ago. Man, how many of you guys missed last week? Jeez. Thanksgiving was good, but I missed being in God's presence with you. So 2 weeks ago, Mariah Sutherland preached an amazing message about that Emmanuel, God with us, that as God comes and He lives next to us and He dwells with us, that the compassion that He had for us, it's known because He was with us. He experienced what we experienced. And that there should be a deep desire and a compassion within us to just go into those dark, hurting places of people's lives and share the healing love of Christ. It was a powerful message. I was taking notes. I hope you were taking notes. This is good. So we're in the series of A Call to Character, and we're focusing on the character of love in our lives. And this week I want to just really sit on and meditate on and think about, where are you connected? This vine that the Lord is talking about, Jesus is telling His disciples that, listen, there's a vine, and you're one of the branches, and you need to be connected to that vine. You need to be dug into that vine. We want to just sit in and meditate on what the Lord has for us in that today. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we ask that Your presence would be here today. God, once again, we ask that You would anoint Your Word. Father, that Your Word would come forward and it would transform lives today. God, that this would not be a time that was wasted, but Father, Your Spirit would come and just radically turn up the soil and the ground in our heart and begin to transform us, that You would set us in motion towards the things that You designed us for, God, in love in Jesus' name. Amen. God is love, and this is pretty commonly known, that the Bible says that God is love. And that it's just a really amazing thing to think about, that all of who He is love. And that everything that has happened and everything that was created and done was started and was stimulated out of the heart of love. It's beautiful. God loves a good love story. All of creation was all about just this amazing love story. That He was willing to trade all of the hurt and the suffering and the separation that His kids, His children, His creation would experience, so that some could have this intimate love relationship with Him. See, because in the beginning God knew, and some of you have been around, you've heard me say this before, is that God created us for this love relationship. And He knew in the beginning, guys, He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He knows all things. It was no surprise to Him that when He created man and He gave them a free will, that they would fall. It's no surprise, guys. He knew exactly what He was going to do. He knew exactly what He was trading for it. He knew that His creation, by having a free will, would choose to hurt His heart, would choose to not love Him, would choose sin and wickedness and evil and be separated for eternity from Him. But if there wasn't that free will, and we were just robots, and if you just thought about the fact that you had yourself a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and they're just a little, you got a little mind control on their device, on a device on their mind, right? Devin, you will love me. You will do anything I tell you. Right? If you're, oh, that's kind of nasty, but if you're, if that person that you wanted to love you just did everything you told them to do all the time and you just control it all, would it mean anything? It would mean jack. It'd be squat. It'd be nothing. The Lord knows this. Come on. It's not rocket science to see that God had to give us a free will so that that love relationship would mean something. But it cost Him tremendously. I believe it's the greatest sacrifice the Lord ever made, was to give man a free will, because all of the pain and all of the suffering and all of the hurt came from that choice. The Bible says that He weeps over everyone. He wishes that none would be lost. That's all of us. That's the millions that have gone before us that never got the opportunity. Now think about what lies in front of you right now, today. You have the opportunity. All of what he traded, all the suffering, everything, he traded it so that you today, right now, could have this intimate love relationship. It just sits right in front of you. Everybody else that never got to hear was worth it to God. All the pain of that separation that the Lord has from those souls not knowing him, it was worth it so that you could know him. It's beautiful. It's the most beautiful love story of all time. And when you hear in the time that's coming up about Christmas and that Jesus came to the earth, and they go, oh, it's the most beautiful love story ever. Why? Because when Jesus came, it was the final expression that God gave to redeem, to bring, to reconcile, to make right, and make a way for you and I to know him and to have that right relationship. When Jesus coming to the earth, God coming to the earth, Emmanuel, like she preached, when he came to the earth, it was the greatest expression of love. God's like, even though none of you love me yet, I'm still going to send my son so that you can know me. He traded it all. Just laid it all down. It was one direction. It was real love. Real love. What exactly is real love? And when Jesus is talking about, listen, I am Emmanuel. I am God with you here on earth in human form. He took on human form, and Hebrews says, because of mercy, because he wanted to have compassion to know us intimately and know all of our struggle, to call us brothers. As our brother, he knew that he would become the merciful high priest, the one that could forgive all the sins, as one experiencing and living in all of the same hurt and struggles and loss and grief and feelings of joy and compassion. All of what you feel, guys, Jesus got to feel it. God came and dwelt inside of the form of his creation so that he could make right the broken relationship. It's a beautiful love story. And what Jesus is talking about, listen, as I am in the Father, this is how you need to be. The same way. Look, I'm modeling it for you. I came and came out of my own presence. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. I came down here and I laid everything on the line. And I'm down here with you. And I want you to know, listen, just how I am in the God's presence and I'm connected to the vine, the very heartbeat of the Father. This is how you need to be all the time. Just digging in deep to that source. The real source of life. The real source of love. Now, I want you to think about this. That what is real? What is real in life? We do all kinds of things. We go horse around at schools and, you know, pulling each other's fingers at slumber parties and woohoo! All the guys go, woo! I don't know why we do that. Why is that fun? It just smells bad. We spend all kinds of time investing into just ordinary things in life that our world, our society, America, or even outside of America says, this is valuable. This is worth trading your life for. Colleges and schools and degrees and work and video games and snow machines and four-wheelers and motorcycles. Sweet cars with hydraulics, spinners. Yeah. Music. Right? Coming to you live. Right? We invest all this time, every day. But what's real? How do we know what's real? I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about what's real. And he goes, what's really real? I said, awesome question. How do you know? I want you to think about this. The only thing that is really real is the love of the Father. Just stay with me for a second. The things that really have value, the only things that are really real are the things that will make it into eternity. Everything else is not real, guys. It's all going to burn up. In the end, it all just disappears. It disappears. It's gone. So if it's just going to disappear, if it's going to be gone, what's real? Now listen, what's real is what comes from the heart of the Father. That's what's real. It's God's heartbeat. No. As his heartbeat just begins to pound and to bleed for what's important to him. See, as we understand what God's heartbeat is, we begin to realize what has eternal value. And what does Jesus say? Let's just hear the words of Jesus. I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. Everything that's not real, He just cuts it off. Why? He says He cuts it off because every branch that does not bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. See, if we invest all of our time and all of our life into things that aren't real love, into things that aren't real love that is stimulated from the heart of the Father, we only have so much energy to give, guys, gals. That energy is going in to produce things that aren't real. They don't have fruit. They don't have value in the kingdom. They don't have eternal value. And so Jesus, God, He's telling you, He's pleading with me, listen, do what I'm doing. You got to plug into the heart of the Father. You've got to know what it is that has eternal value. And you got to pour out all your energy there. And as the Father goes, no, look, that's not exactly what I want you to be doing. That's not eternal. You allow Him to just prune that off of your life. Okay, Lord, you don't want me to be involved in like, okay, like six really not good things passed in my mind. All of those things that I didn't say because I have a good filter, don't do those. That's growth right there. That's growth. You know, we get ourselves involved in our dating relationships. Come on, are they in the heart of the Father? What are we doing in those things? Are they according to God's will and His standard? Yikes. When you go home at night, what do you invest your time in? When you turn your computer on, what's on the screen? When you go to the movie store and you rent a movie, and now listen, I'm not talking about right and wrongs. I'm talking about what's producing real fruit. What is kingdom fruit? What is going to take this city and turn it upside down for God? What are you going to invest your life in when you get connected with the vine, when you get connected with the heartbeat of the Father, and you're sitting there on your computer? Is this eternal? I mean, is this the love that God wants to express through you? Are you allowing something to come inside of you that is going to produce kingdom fruit that's going to last for eternity? Or are you allowing something to come inside of you that is not love, that is not real love, and that is going to produce death, not only in you, but when people come and drink from your well and taste to see how good you are, what are they tasting? Come on, are they tasting a bittered well? A well that would produce sin in their life? Man, what's real? What is real? Okay, turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 14. I want you to think about this with me for a little bit. When Jesus talks about his experience of being like in the vine, in the vine,
let me in the vine, na 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 na.
He's not joking around. I mean, the guy lived there. Now, here's an example in Matthew 14. John the Baptist, his cousin, and someone whom he cared for deeply, is not really in good sorts with the king, and he gets his head chopped off. This is a bad day, not only for John's disciples, but Jesus was not exactly happy on that day. He was grieved, guys. And it says here, as the news came to him, and if we look in verse 13, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Jesus was grieving. When Lazarus died, he loved Lazarus. He wept. It's the humanity of Christ. He was fully God, but he was fully man. He had feelings, man. He loved these guys more than you and I have ever loved. Jesus loved. He loved John and his friend, his fellow minister, who made straight the way for him, for the Lord, had just been killed. And who does he go to? Right? He goes to find the heartbeat of his father. He goes to a solitude place, and he pushes off, and he gets alone, and he cries out to his God. Why do we know this? When he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Stay watch with me. Take watch." And he goes to be with his Father at the pinnacle of when the weight of the sin of the world was going to come upon him. He gets into the very presence of his Father, and he pleads to him. He cries out to him so much, so passionately that it says there was sweat coming out is like great drops of blood from his brow. He was passionate about being in the very intimate places with the Father. Every time Jesus would go away and he would get with the Father, he'd come back and a situation like this would happen. As he pushes his boat back onto the shore, it says, hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. Verse 14, when Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. I mean, seriously, tell me that in the human nature of Christ, the last thing that he was wanting to do after he's just got done grieving over the loss of a very close friend or minister, all of a sudden he really wants, I can't wait to get out and really start laying hands on people. I mean, how many of you guys have ever lost somebody or grieved over a loss? It is painful. It takes it all out of you physically and emotionally. And Jesus comes, steps right back on the shore, and boom, there's real life. There's the needs laying right in front of him. There's everywhere. A whole multitude of people hurt, lame, sick, probably demon-possessed. And Jesus goes, I just got the heartbeat of the Father. Even though my body's tired, I'm sad, I'm grieving. But here's a need. And what's he do? He reaches out and he begins to touch them and they get healed. He ministers to them, even though his day was not exactly going right. Now listen, look at the example of Christ, guys. It's not about your day going right. It's not about your life being perfect. It's not about that you ended up in the right home with the right parents, with the right shoes and the right iPod. Those aren't the things that make you a minister. Those aren't the things that allow you to invest in eternity. They're not. None of that really matters. What really matters is no matter what you're going through, are you going to be connected to the vine? Are you going to go to that secret place? Are you going to shove your boat off the shore and find that place where there's the intimacy with God? Where you can find the heartbeat of God? The Bible says to be ready. Be ready. In season and out of season. To give account for the hope that lies within you. That's not just with your words. Jesus was not just about his words. He was a man of action. He was a man that was full of God's presence. Ready at every moment to minister the real love of God. The very heartbeat of the Father. He says that, he goes, tells his disciples, he goes, I don't do anything that I don't see my Father doing. He was connected to the vine. Fully connected. Ready. Ready to just give account. To just pray for those that the Father laid on his heart. To minister something real. What are you ministering to your family, to your friends, in your schools, to your teachers, to the people on the street? What about the broken and the needy and the hurting people in our city? If you're not going to be real love to them, if I'm not going to be real love to them, who's going to do it? If we as Christians, as believers, cannot be connected to the heartbeat of God, if we cannot be connected to the vine and have real love to share with other people, who is going to do it? Now listen, it might look like love when somebody gives $1 million to the AIDS Foundation, or somebody gives this to whatever, or somebody like goes out and they help somebody across the street. It might look like it. But I promise you, if it doesn't come from the very heartbeat of God, if the intentions and the motivations aren't right from the heartbeat of the Father, it's not real. It's a false love. There's a lot of love in our world that looks like this. It looks like I'm loving you, doesn't it? I mean, it really looks like it's pointing at you. It did break, because it's a bad love. Not good. I broke it. But it looks like it, doesn't it? It really is going towards you a long ways, but at the very end it just bloop. Yeah, I feel pretty good about doing that for you. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? You know, we do things so people will notice them. Yeah, I am a Christian, everybody. Woo! Look at me, love you. Oh. But you know what happens is that when I like help you with something, I make sure that everybody knows about it. Because then I feel good about it. I might give you something, and it makes me feel good. Because everybody gets to know, and guess who gets all the strokes? I feel so good to love you. Right? We can do a lot of things in life that imitate and they look like love. We say we love our girlfriends, our boyfriends. We hold their hands because I'm loving them. Really? Really? You're kissing on her because you love her. It sure looks like love. All of a sudden at the very end, that feels really good. Come on. The things we think are love, what are they? What is real love, guys? What is real? Now, Christ's love was not only in words, but it was in action. And I want you to think about this. The love of God takes a very specific shape. It is specific. It is always constant. It doesn't change. God and His love endures forever. Say forever. It doesn't change. It's everlasting. It is what is real. Everything that has real value takes this shape. And this shape is a straight arrow. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. See, selfish love is the arrow with the hook. And you know, it's this kind of love that's like, you'd better read the fine print on that deal. You know what I'm saying? It's like you sign up for the greatest deal. You're like, salesman calls you up. I've got the best deal for you. And he points at his gold tooth. Hey, hey, hey. Right? How you like me, Nino? I promise you can't turn this deal down. You'll be so sorry if you did. It's the best deal of the century. You're going to make $1 million. They promise you all this stuff, but you'd better read the fine print. One time my wife and I, we get this coupon in the mail and we were young. Gosh, we were probably like 19 or something. And we're just dumb and happy. We're like, I love you. I was like that. She didn't ever really do that. Okay. Dude, I was so in love with that girl. Okay, I still am. Okay, this one time we get this coupon in the mail. It's like, you win a free stereo, blah, 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 blah. It's only this much money, right? It says something about, you win. You're like, right on. And then start reading down. Oh, I got to pay for this thing. Okay, well, that's a good deal. They show this amazing picture of this stereo. I'm just like, that thing's fatty. That's awesome. So we mail it in. We end up paying like $90 for this thing or something retarded. And it comes in the mail. It is tiny. It's dinky. It's wimpy. It hardly works. It was ghetto. I would never even pay $20 for the thing. Particle board. It was horrid. Joni, are you here? Oh, okay, never mind. Dude, it was hilarious. And we go back, and I still had the coupon. I started reading it. I'm like, I just got robbed. And I started reading the fine print. And it started telling me the actual dimensions. I measured the sucker. I'm like, oh, crap. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm such an idiot. False advertising. It looked good. Had that long straight part. Looked like it was pointing at me. But it really pointed back to the guy that made like $90 on my deal. And I should have looked at the fine print. There's a lot of love out there. There's a lot of things that look like love, but they're a selfish love. And you better read the fine print. Because God's love takes a specific shape. And if you look in Philippians 2, verse 3, you'll see what that shape is. There's a lot of other scriptures, and we're gonna keep pressing into this, so I'm not going to hit them all tonight. You're going to have to show up next week. All right. Boop. Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing. Everybody say nothing. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. You should not look to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Consider others greater than yourselves. That's a specific shape. That arrow doesn't turn back around. That kind of love is a kind of love that you just give and you expect nothing in return. That's real love. That's the real shape of love. And you want to be connected to the heart of God, and you want to know what is eternal and that is real and that's really going to last? Looks like this. When you give, you don't expect anything in return. When you love, it's not for you in any way. It's for them. It's for the Lord. When you love God, love you. You don't love him and give to him. You go, oh God, I love you and I'm going to give him my finances. Bless me, Lord. Yeah. Money, 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 money. That's retarded and sinful. That is a sinful, selfish love. Give to the Lord. Oh God, look at all the time I'm dedicating to your services, Lord. I am the great, most holy, reverend one. Why are you serving? Why are you giving? Why are you doing anything? Is it real? Or is it selfish and not from the heartbeat of the Father? If we go back to John, and I'm going to close with this. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this. You want the greatest love? You want to know what the greatest love is and the greatest thing you can invest your life into? It's laying your life down for your friends. All those others that have never heard of the love of the Father, that have never been connected to the vine and experienced the presence of God. There's no greater love than you stopping your car on the side of the street and helping that guy who's freezing, doesn't have a coat, just hungry, just needs some love. You're not getting anything in return except maybe some BO stains in your car. Seriously. Lay down your life. Lay down your car, your resources, your money. No greater love than we lay it down for other relationships, for friends. You got to be willing to connect into the very heart of God and get His heartbeat for people. Gosh, and be ready. Just be ready to open up your life and lay it all down. Just like Jesus did. He laid it all down. Nothing more eternal happened ever than what Jesus did. Nothing that made a greater impact in eternity than what Jesus did. Because what Jesus did allowed God's creation to experience the love they were created for. The most real thing in the world is the love that you experience with your Father. Let's pray. Father God, we love you today. God, I pray that your love would be present here today. Lord God, if there are people in this room that have never experienced your love, today would be their day. God, that your Spirit would pour out in this place, God, and your love would be on them. Father, I pray that we would all have the courage to begin to seek you for more, to experience more of your love, God, to open our hearts up to have an encounter with your love, God, with the thing in this world that is real. God, come today. Come right now. God, we invite you in this place. Lord God, we are willing. We are open. God, don't let this time pass by. Father, don't let this opportunity be missed. I just want to encourage you today. If you're ready and you desire to have a deeper love, an encounter with the vine, an encounter with the Most High God, we're just going to begin to worship a little bit tonight. And tonight is your opportunity. Now listen, it's not real if it doesn't come from your heart. It's not a real experience if it doesn't come from your heart. And it's not a genuine heart that wants to connect with the heart of the Father. You want breakthrough tonight? You want anything? You want anything from the Lord tonight? What did Jesus say? He said, if you do this, what you ask my Father for, those desires in your heart, He's going to give them to you. Right there in John. Whatever you wish for. You want that intimacy with God? It's right here for you today. It's there every day. It's not just a church. It's available for you at every moment that you want to just go and push your boat off the shore and find that place of solitude. You can know Him. Would you just stand with me for a moment? You are so good today, God. You are so worthy today, Lord. Praise you today. I just want to worship Him right now. What's on your heart to just give to the Lord? What's on your heart to just pour out to Him? Right now, we just want to enter into just an opportunity for you to just seek Him. If you want to come to the altar, you can come to the altar and you can worship Him. Or you can worship Him right where you're standing. But right now, we want to take an opportunity to push our boats off the shore. When you come into worship, it's a time for you to connect with real love, with the very heartbeat of the Father. So listen right now. Let's take a moment. Those things that you've really been desiring, breakthrough in your life, you've really been desiring God to just move, to experience real love. Today's your day. You want to give Jesus your heart for the first time, or maybe not the first time. Today's your day. Praise God. Let's worship for a while. for a moment while we just continue the music and just continue to worship. Right now, I want you to, I just really believe the Lord is just saying, you need to make this personal. You need to make the cry from your heart personal to the Lord. It's your worship to Him. You're in your boat alone with the Father. And you need to just begin to give Him your heart in your way. So we're just going to pray just music right now. And just whatever comes to your heart, I just want you to sing it to the Lord. Just say it to the Lord. Lord God, You're beautiful. You have my heart. God, I give You a heart and make it You humble before You. Come on, just begin to give it to Him right now. Just take a few moments to invest in what's really real. Father, You're beautiful. God, I just love You. You are so good. Your goodness is so amazing. Father, I love You. Love You today, God. With my heart, I give You praise today. Holy today. You are worthy today. You are so worthy. You are glorious, God. I love You today. Expand my heart for You. Expand my life for You. Take the sin out of my life. Change me today, God. Make me real. Fill me with Your love, God. I love You today. You are beautiful. You are truly holy in this place, God. You are truly holy. We love You. I love You. With my lips and my heart, I tell You, You are lovely, and I love You. I worship You. Glory to Your name, O God. Today, Lord God, You have all of my heart, all of my life. Jesus, You are worthy. Praise Your name today. Praise Your name today. Praise Your name today. Beautiful are the feet of those who share good news, who bring good news. Your heart of love, that which is real, that's good news. You are the good news. If your heart is connected to the vine. good to love Him, isn't it? It's what we're made for. And when you start doing it, it's just good. It's hard to even stop. But every single one of us has to find a place where we can push our boats off. And you can do this. What you were made for. Amen. Before I pray over you and we wrap everything up, Pamela wants to just share a word really quick. And just want you to just listen and keep your hearts ready to receive.
I just wanted to give a word of exhortation and just encourage those that are used in the spiritual gifts to use those gifts. And not just here, but take them out there, you know, in the marketplace, in the, while you're shopping, while you're in school, while you're working. God will give you a word of knowledge and some insight and speak it. And you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. You can just say, you know, and just start talking to people. I do it all the time. People don't even know that I'm prophesying to them. But I want to encourage you, too, to take it to Sunday morning church. And I just exhort you, use the gift that God gave you. And don't be afraid. You're not too young. Don't be afraid to go down front, the church at church on Sunday, and share what the Lord has placed on your heart. If it's a prayer, pray it. If it's a word of knowledge, give it. If it's a word of wisdom, prophecy, exhortation, I encourage you to give it. You have it. Give it out.
Praise God. We love you guys. We're so glad you got to worship with us today. If you want to receive just a blessing, just lift your hands to the Lord. I'm going to pray over you, and we're going to head out. Father, I just pray and speak life and blessing over your people, God, that you would pour out your Spirit on them this week. God, that the heart of your very heart, Father God, would be on them. God, I pray that you would just fill them with your love, a tremendous power of your love that would go with them today as they go into their schools, God, as they go into their families. Lord, that you would just penetrate their communities, God, in Jesus' name. God, that the things that they need to see breakthrough in, God, that they would break in Jesus' name. God, the conflicts with parents, God, the brokenness with siblings, there would be breakthrough and there would be favor and there would be love that would penetrate those dark places by the power of your Spirit. God, let your people go with your favor in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Praise the Lord. We will see you next week. We're going to be talking more about love and a call to character. So bring a friend, especially the unlovely.